All right, let's turn to Mark chapter number 5, book of Mark, the 5th chapter. Want to read with you a rather lengthy portion of Scripture, and then we'll go back and break it down, see what we can gain therefrom. If you've heard this before, we got sermons on the internet, the radio, and all this, you know, record everything else. If you've heard this before, just be like people in our church. I can preach something a dozen times, they never hear it. So you just say, well, I heard that before, but this time listen. Listen this time. All right, Mark 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, that's Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately anointing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? We have that on the wall in our church nursery. We have that Bible verse. The other one, we had their little wall plaques. The other one is, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's it. That's a good verse for a nursery. Anyway, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. But they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. If you ever need to know Greek or Hebrew, it'll be right in the Bible. It's right there. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Father, thank you for giving us your pure and perfect words in our language. Father, we thank you for the faith to believe them, for the heart and the mind to understand them. Pray, God, that we would be obedient tonight to the direction and the teaching of your word. Help us each and every one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This unusual passage in the Word of God, throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have many miracles recorded that Jesus performed, many wonders that he wrought, and they're amazing to read about, enjoyable to read about. This one's really strange. This is a miracle inside a miracle. The Lord didn't tell, the Holy Spirit in directing Mark, he didn't tell the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and then you turn the page and read the story of Jairus' daughter, or vice versa. He's telling the story of Jairus' daughter and inserts the tale of the woman with the issue of blood right in the middle of it, and then resumes with the story of Jairus' daughter. I thought that was really odd. That's an unusual way to tell a tale. It's an unusual way to write a story. And then the mystery got even more curious and more interesting when I realized that woman had had that issue of blood as long as that girl had been alive. The little girl's 12 years old, the issue of blood lasted 12 years. Well, you know, the Lord didn't put anything in the Bible by accident, and he didn't put it where he put it by accident. And I got to thinking, what is it about this story that starts in one place, is interrupted and tells another tale, and then resumes the original story as though the tale in the middle never happened? And you know something? That shows up again and again in your Bible. In fact, it is the theme of the entire Bible. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I've got to give it away or I can't teach it. The woman with the issue of blood, that's you, that's me. She is a Gentile without any claim on the Messiah. She's not part of the story. She's not part of the beginning or the ending of that story. But right in the middle of a tale that God was telling, she comes in, she gets the help she needs, and then she's gone. And the Lord's got a story He's telling, starting in Genesis chapter number 12, of the Hebrew people, a ruler of the synagogue with great need, and their condition gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and then the Lord seemingly loses interest in them. When He picks up the story again, they've gone from bad to worse. It's death, it's lamentation, it's mourning, it's wailing, but the Lord says, I'm not finished with this. And He picks up that story where it left off, and both tales come to a very happy ending. Now, Jairus' daughter is a picture of the nation of Israel and the Messiah's dealings with them. And this woman with the issue of blood is a picture of you and I, the New Testament church, and the Lord's dealings with us. Well, anybody can say that. Let's see what the Bible teaches. Let's take a look. Verse 22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Healing is the province of the Hebrew people. If they taught the law in that synagogue, they were taught that God had promised health and healing and physical well-being to the children of Israel if they would walk in God's statutes and obey God's word. All those verses you would hear if you listen to a late night TV preacher promising health and healing to Americans in the 21st century, those are all promises stolen from the Jews and from the law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. There is perfect healing under the law. There is a freedom from disease under the law. And this ruler of the synagogue, he comes to the Jewish Messiah and he says, my daughter needs to be healed. And the Bible says, verse 24, Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him. Jesus didn't say, that's not my concern. Jesus didn't say, I'm not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She is one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus didn't say, you did this wrong or that wrong. Listen, he has come to be the Messiah to the nation of Israel. He's come to prove that with signs and wonders and miracles. And when this ruler of the synagogue asks the Messiah to come and heal his daughter, he heads right that way because that's what he's come to do. Now, he didn't come to heal me necessarily, didn't come to heal you necessarily, but he came to work these signs and wonders to establish himself as the Messiah of the people. And the Bible says in verse 24, and, see, there's something else going on. It's not just the Jewish book. He's not just the Jewish Messiah. He's not just the king who's going to set up a kingdom on earth and rule and reign over the nation of Israel. Thank God there's an and to the work of the Lord. Thank God there's an and to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. As long, as we said before, as long as that little girl had been alive, this woman had been under a deplorable, horrible, debilitating condition. We'd call it sin. The wages of sin is death. And by one man's sin, death entered the world, and death passed upon all men. We've not all sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, but we all suffer the effects and all suffer the crippling byproducts of that sin. And here's this woman, and she's had this issue of blood for 12 years, and she suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I'm not about to come to a Bible-believing church for the first time and on the first night get in the argument with you about whether or not we should go to a doctor or a faith healer or take medicine or shake chicken bones. We're not talking about any of that stuff. Listen, here's the point. This woman was willing to bankrupt herself to get well, and so would you. This woman was willing to spend everything she had, take any cure, try any treatment, try any advice to get well, and so would you, correct? But in our picture, what a picture this woman is of the Gentile nations. They never had one God. They never had a law written on tables of stone. They never had an orderly priesthood set up for them. They didn't have sacrifices and altars and feast days and holy days. Our ancestors, they tried totem poles. They tried carving birds out of rocks. They tried worshiping the stocks of trees. Some of them worshiped the stars of heaven. Some of them worshiped their dead ancestors. Come on, we've tried everything. There's nothing a Gentile hasn't tried to try and get God to speak to him, and God never spoke. There's nothing a Gentile hasn't tried to try and get a relationship with God. And after 4,000 years, all they know about God, he'll kick you out of a garden, he'll drown you in a flood, he'll burn your cities to the ground. Come on, now think about it. I'm not trying to be mean. Your forefathers, unless you're here tonight, you're a Jew, your forefathers, the Bible ends at Genesis 11. That's all you got. The last time you heard from God was the Tower of Babel. You got a report from Lot and his daughters about Sodom and Gomorrah. You got a report from a harlot in Jericho about something he had done in Egypt. Ask your Egyptian forefathers about God. Listen, I'm telling you, our ancestors were afraid of God with good reason. So we worship cats and birds and rivers and the wind and the Great Spirit and Grandpa and everything under the sun and some things under the moon. And guess what? Nothing better. Nothing better. In fact, rather grew worse. Cut their throats, burn them in cages, drown them in rivers, offer their babies in sacrifice to their gods, throw the children into Moloch's belly. All this, listen, religion hasn't made the world a better place. In fact, you go off to college and they'll tell you with good reason, although they reject the Bible, with good reason they'll tell you religion starts wars and religious people kill people in the name of their religion. That's this woman, that's where we came from. We tried every way in the world to worship an unknown God and just got worse and worse and worse and closer to death's door with each passing generation. And so the Bible says this in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. Now she tried everything and then she heard of Jesus. And she wasted all her money. And then she heard of Jesus. And she got no better, but then she heard of Jesus. In fact, she only got worse, and then she heard of Jesus. And listen, tonight, I don't know, maybe you grew up in Sunday school, some of you did, and maybe you've been in church all your life, some of you have been, but I'm telling you, for the man that was out there in that drug world, and the woman's out there in that drinking world, and for everybody here that was an adulterer, or a fornicator, or a rebel, or a reprobate, let me tell you something, you know, everything you tried to make you happy left you worse. And everything you tried to satisfy you left you worse. And everything you threw yourself into just broke you down a little bit more. And then it might have been on the job. It might have been on a street corner. It might have been somebody knocking on your door. But you heard, praise God, you heard about Jesus. You know why we go to South America? So they can hear about Jesus. With all their statues and their idols and their silver and their gold and their robes and their priests and their holy water and their candles, somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. Amen. And we go to Africa so we can cut through the animism and the totemism and the voodoo and the witchcraft and tell them about Jesus. And this woman, she didn't know much. She'd never known much. She didn't have any real opportunities in life like this Jairus' daughter did. She didn't go to the synagogue every week and hear the word of God read. But one day, she heard about Jesus. Aren't you glad she didn't hear about laws and sacrifices and offerings and feast days and battlements around the roof and fringes on the borders of the garment and all those other things? She heard about Jesus. Well, there were a lot of folks in the way. So when she heard about Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment.
They're precious. Look, there's impediments. There's hindrances. There's things standing in the way.
And there were things in your way too. Mom didn't want you going that way. Dad didn't want you going that way. Your drinking buddies didn't want you going that way. Your job mates didn't want you going that way. That old flesh, as desperate as it was, didn't want you going that way. But that woman, she pushed and she elbowed and she just got a little rude and she got aggressive and she ducked down low and then she stood up tall and thin. She was going to get to Jesus one way or the other. Now here's what I like. The Bible's a beautiful book. Here's what I like. The Bible says she touched, came into press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, you know where she got that from? Nowhere. She just made it up. You go home tonight. You think I'm lying. You go home tonight. Read Genesis through Malachi and show me the verse that says if you'll touch the hem of Messiah's garment, you'll be healed. That's not in the Bible anywhere. She didn't have a Bible. You say, well, where does it say if you sneak up behind the Lord and grab hold of his clothes, you can get what you need? Nowhere. But she didn't know that. Let me tell you something. Some of you have been saved 25 years, and it's so hard for you to witness to somebody now because there's so many things you think they have to do to get saved, you can't fit them all in one witness. And when you got saved, you didn't know any of that stuff. Some of you came chewing gum, and some of you came without shedding tears, and some of you kneeled on one knee instead of two knees, and some of you didn't write down the date so you could remember it forever, and some of you weren't facing east, and some of you didn't bow your head all the way. Come on, come on. In fact, you didn't know what you were doing, did you? You weren't making sure you'd done it all right. You didn't even know what right was. You just knew, if I don't get to Jesus, I'm going to die. And if I can get to Jesus, he's going to save me.
Says, bless God, you can't get saved without a King James Bible.
Some of you did.
Why are people going to churches down there? You can't get saved in one of those churches.
Some of you did. Listen, I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm telling you, when a Gentile like you and a Gentile like me comes to God, we don't come with perfect knowledge. We don't come with full understanding. We don't come with all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted and every jot and tittle in place. We just hear something about Jesus. We read a piece of a gospel tract. We hear a little something passing by as a preacher preaches on the corner, and something down inside says, you better get to that man. And most of us just snuck up on Jesus and grabbed the hem of his garment and found out 15 years later in a Bible conference or revival meeting we didn't do it right. Amen. You know, if men had tried as hard to talk me into getting saved as they tried to talk me out of it after I got it, I might have been saved sooner than I was. You know, before you get saved, everybody says, look, now Christ died for your sins. You believe that? Well, yeah, you know, and he rose from the dead. You believe that? Yeah. Well, right here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that? Yeah. And you bow your head and you pray and he says, now you're saved. Don't ever let anybody talk you out of it. And you start going to church and everybody's trying to talk you out of it. You didn't know much when you got saved. And you said, well, you got to repent. You didn't repent of much. You didn't even know what there was to repent of. How are you going to confess all your sins? You're still finding out what they are. I'm not trying to water down the gospel. I'm not, and I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm telling you, you don't have to come from a background of 2,500 years of legal instruction and offerings and sacrifice and priesthood and ritual. If you'll hear about Jesus and come by faith to the Lord the best you know how, he will meet your need, and you know that he did. Praise God. Praise God. That's us. That's us. All right. So the Bible says, it's such a great book. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. It wasn't a long, drawn-out process. It's instantaneous. It's immediate. That's how long it took you to get saved, in a moment of time. I like it. That song, one songwriter said, the vilest offender
who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. That's what I got. Is that what you got? In a moment, in a moment. Now watch this. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Have you read where Jesus cleansed the lepers? That didn't happen. Have you read where Jesus gave sight to the blind? That didn't happen. Have you read where Jesus caused the lame to walk and even where he raised people from the dead? Something happened in this miracle that didn't happen in the ones surrounding it and didn't happen in the other miracles. Virtue, the righteousness possessed by Jesus Christ, the holiness possessed by Jesus Christ. He said, "When that woman touched me, it went out of me and into her." That's remarkable. You know what happened to you that didn't happen to Daniel? You know what happened to you that didn't happen to Isaiah? You know what happened to you that did not happen to David or Jeremiah or Abraham? God sent His Holy Ghost to dwell inside of you, out of Him and into you, His love, His joy, His peace, His mercy, His goodness, His righteousness imputed to you, out of Him and into you. That's amazing. That's what happened right there. You say, what did she know? Nothing. She didn't even know to ask for it. And neither did you. You know why some of you got saved in charismatic church or Pentecostal church back when they used to preach Bible, and that wasn't mean-spirited. That's... And you know what? You know why they could teach you that you had to pray and seek and beg for the Holy Ghost? Because you didn't know you got it. Isn't that right? And then one day somebody took you over to Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 12 and said, "Well, look here, friend, man, I'm not the Spirit of Christ. He's none of His. And we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body." So, wow, look at that. I never knew that. But it happened. It happened. The moment you were saved, not only were you cleansed, not only were you made whole, but God's virtue took up residence inside you. What an amazing thing. That kind of bothered some of you. We got all week to clear it up or make it worse. Virtue gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I guess he didn't know before the foundation of the world she was going to come and do that. But we... We're 30 minutes into the first night. We've already just offended almost everybody in town. Everybody's got their place. That's mine. 31. His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole thy plague." Now you know what happens? He's not in any kind of fellowship with her before she comes and lays hold on him. And she's not in any kind of fellowship with him before he comes and lays hold. No, Jairus, he's having a conversation with the Lord on his way to heal the daughter. He's talking with Jesus, and Jesus is talking with him. There's this companionship and this company before the healing miracle. This woman, none, nothing, nothing. He has nothing to say to her. She has nothing to say to him. She's alone in the world without hope and without God. And as soon as she lays hold on him, he cleanses her, he heals her, his virtue goes into him, and at once they're in fellowship and communion one with another. That's you. That's me. That's the church. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. You know what else is great about the Bible? Not just what it says, what it doesn't say. Watch this. And said to her, "Daughter, thy faith made thee whole. Go in peace, behold thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." Watch. She's dying, she's dying, she's dying. She hears about Jesus. By faith, she comes to Jesus. She lays hold on Jesus. She's cleansed. She's healed. She receives virtue. They fellowship. They commune together. And then she just disappears. She's just gone like she was never there. That's going to happen to you. If you're saved, you come to Jesus, He meets your need, He gives you the Holy Spirit, you fellowship with Him, He fellowships with you, and then one day, God just moves to the next verse and you're gone. You just disappear like you weren't even there. The neighbors suddenly begin to notice, honey, have you noticed that there ain't no cars at that church? There's one guy, he keeps coming, driving around, looking to see where everybody is, but I wonder what happened. There used to be something going on there every single day, and now they're just all gone. There's nobody there. It's going to happen one day. One of these days is going to happen. We started, your pastor at 87, we had this rented building, and for a couple of years, there were about 10 of us, and then we got up about 15 or 20 after 4 years. We were really rolling. You try starting a church in Florida in a rented building with no air conditioning. You get people that really want to be there. But anyway, we had this family. You probably don't have one in your church, but we had this family, and they were just late for everything. Every service, don't look around. Every head turns the same direction. We say, no. So this family is always late. So one Sunday night, I told everybody, let's all bring an extra set of clothes. And we laid those clothes on the ground where we always sit and left our Bibles laying on the floor and went and hid in the other room. That family came in late. The cars were there and the clothes were there and the Bibles were there, but we were all gone. Now there's nothing in the Bible say you leave your clothes behind, but there wasn't any other way we could make it work. But anyway, that was... So if the family in your church isn't here yet, it's really fun to do. All right. Let's go here now. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, see what he does? As soon as he's finished with that woman and she disappears, the story picks up right where it left off. Israel did not get replaced by the church. The church is not Israel. God didn't go to plan B when plan A failed. He's dealing with Jairus. He stops to deal with this woman, and then he's going to finish dealing with Jairus. He's dealing with a Jew. He stops to build his church. When the church is finished, he's going to pick up right where he left off. 69 weeks, time out. We got 1 week to go. Church gets caught up. We got to finish the week. So they say, "Why thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" You know something? By the time that great tribulation gets rolling, the people begin to ask, in fact, as he written in the Bible, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Wouldn't you think they're dead? I mean, there's nothing left but a remnant. They've fled to the mountains in the wilderness. You couldn't find any evidence there's going to be a kingdom in Jerusalem. You couldn't find any evidence there's going to be a kingdom with a Messiah lopping off heads over here and throwing bodies in the furnace of fire over there and giving out that mark of the beast all over the place. It's too late, Lord. You waited too long. You can't help anyone. You could have helped, but you can't help now. That's what they said. And so what does he do? Soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Might be the time of Jacob's trouble, but I can handle it. It might be tribulation like it never was from the day man started till this, but it's not too late for me. I can handle it. He suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Now, what do we have before? A multitude thronging, right? He's on the way to Jairus' house. A multitude is thronging. Where is he now? He's still on the way to Jairus' house. But the multitude has turned into a tiny remnant. Whoever wrote Mark 5 knew a lot about the Bible. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. You know what's going on? great tribulation, sorrow, lamentation, mourning, death. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, and when he put them all out. See what he does? The Lord is here. He's come to the place where he is finally welcomed by just a small remnant. And there are those who are alive and in that place when the Lord gets there who don't believe on him, they don't trust him, they laugh at him, and you know what he does? He says, get them out of here. Get them out of here. You read Matthew 13. Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth, and there'll be people who lived through the tribulation who get put on the goat side, not the sheep side, and they're thrown out of the kingdom. Have you not read Matthew 22? There are men in the kingdom when the Lord gets back and he says, you don't have a wedding garment on. Throw them out. They lived to see the coming of the Lord, but they didn't get to stay and enjoy the resurrection life that was to follow. It's right here in Mark 5. The whole thing's laid out perfectly for you. And so he says, verse number 40, he put them all out. He taketh the father and mother damsel, them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And the straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was aged 12 years. And look, they were astonished with great astonishment. The Pope doesn't think he's going to do it. ISIS doesn't think he's going to do it. Your president doesn't think he's going to do it. The churches in America don't think he's going to do it. They're all trying to become Jews. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ could walk into the house where a girl was stone cold dead and raise her from the dead. And he can come back to this earth and raise a nation out of the dust of the ground and cause these stones to become children of Abraham. He's got that kind of power. And if they're not but four people and a mom and dad that believe it, he's still going to do it. Praise the Lord. Now, he charged them straightly, no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, this is just, I love the Bible. See that woman see that story in the middle, the woman with the issue of blood? You know how her story ends? She disappears, and Jesus goes on to deal with somebody else. You see how this story ends? He stays where he is, and they eat together. You know what's going to happen to the church? We're leaving. You know what's going to happen to the Jew? Christ is going to come back, and he's going to stay in the house for 1,000 years. That's an amazing book. Amazing book. Let's go two places. We've got time this evening. Or I do. I don't have anywhere to go. Come to Ezekiel 37 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Ezekiel 37 and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I'm glad I'm part of the church. But I'm glad God hasn't cast off his people, Israel, whom he foreknew. I'm glad he's going to keep all the promises he made to them. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, here we are. We're the woman with the issue of blood. We came out of nowhere. We got no relationship, no prior claim on Messiah. He's not talking to us. We're not talking to him. We just came the best we knew how. We heard about Jesus. We laid hold by faith, and he met our need and fellowship with us. And then what happens? Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Ye saw not, even as us who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And kneel right and pray right and repent right and straighten up right and join right. And see all that stuff that we add that isn't there? What do you have to do to get raptured? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this week, I'll get off track for a minute. Just one minute, I'll get back on track. If it's not true in India, it's not true in America. If it's not true in Saudi Arabia, it's not true in America. If it's not true in the mountains of Peru, it's not true in America. If you got a Muslim in Pakistan to believe that Christ was God who died and was buried and rose again, you'd send a letter home and rejoice that somebody got saved. But in America, since everybody kind of halfway claims to believe that, we want to add 10 more things to it. Truth is truth. Just because Texans know more than they know what to do with doesn't mean we got to add stuff to the gospel. You don't need to get assurance somebody's saved. They need to get assurance they're saved. You say, well, if they do this, this, and this, I'll know they're saved. Well, we've had people we knew were saved until about 20 years in, and then they did something, and all of a sudden we're not sure anymore. So I'm going to leave the rapture up to the Lord. I used to be qualified. About 2 years after I got saved, I knew who was saved and who wasn't. How many of you remember that? But I've been saved a while now. Spend enough time with church people, you won't have any idea who's going to heaven, who's not. Not this church. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our dead are rising and disappearing. Our living are being caught up and disappearing. Praise God. Now, look at Ezekiel 37. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many. And the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. If God ever asks you a question, that's the right answer. Just so you know. The Living Bible there says, what are you asking me for? No, it doesn't. I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And your knee bone be connected to your thigh bone, and your thigh bone connected to your hip bone. And your ye shall know, that's the Amplified. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, and lo, sinews of the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Don't you hope God has videotape? I'd like to see that. Then, now look, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Their dead are raised and they don't go anywhere. Their living are preserved and they don't go anywhere. They stay in the land. Two different people, two different futures, one book, one Savior. Mark 4 tells the tale. And he says in 13, you shall know I'm the Lord, and I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. How about that? All right, one last little thing here. When you're reading your Bible, you read that Old Testament? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Exodus, wilderness, Rahab. Huh. There's a Gentile harlot. What's she doing there? She's not part of the story. She gets saved, and then we move on. Israelites conquering the land. Israelites dividing up the land. Israelites messing up in the land. Ruth, huh? A Moabitess. What's she doing there? She's just getting saved. And then we turn the page. Oh, 1 Samuel, Saul, David, Kings, Chronicles. Huh, Esther. Who's she? Oh, she's a Gentile woman. What's she doing there? Oh, she's getting saved. Or a woman married to a Gentile king. Listen, what I'm telling you is all through this Bible, God's narrative regarding his earthly people is interrupted so a woman can find grace. And then the Lord drops the telling of the tale of that woman like it never started and picks right back up with the story of Israel. Every one of those women is a picture of you and of me and how we got saved. The bride of Christ who had no business being where she is. And it's right there in Mark chapter 5, a miracle inside a miracle. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, the Holy Bible, this lamp to our feet and light to our path. Lord, would you encourage our hearts? If in nothing else, Lord, encourage us to believe your word, that you might feed us and strengthen us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.